Chapter 4. The Sun Dome toured at speed. Thorview, 12.0.11. Questioning Saemon Croats. The wealthiest Hubrites kept winter palaces on the west perimeter of the Sun Dome. According to Chasna Fishig, they enjoyed both light and dark, as if that was something indulgent. They looked inwards to the lit dome and had shutters that could be opened to view the dark landscape of the winter desert. It was a spiritual thing, Amos suggested. Fishig shut down his terrain-following guidance as we sliced through the streets, and his heavy speeder rose up above the traffic and buildings. We hooked hard turns between glass spires and roared west. I think he was showing off. In the rear seating, under the roll bars, Amos clung on and closed his eyes with a soft groan. I rode up front with the armored Fishig, seeing a predatory grin on his face under the visor of his RBT's helmet. The speeder was a standard Imperial model, painted matte brown and sporting the badges of the solar symbol and the chevrons and tail number of the local RBTs. Armored, it turned heavily, the anti-grav straining to keep us aloft. There was a heavy bolter, pintle-mounted, forward of my seat. I glanced around and saw a locked rack of combat shotguns behind the rear seats. "Give me one of those!" I yelled above the slipstream and the choppy thrum of the turbofans. "What? I need a weapon!" Fishig nodded and keyed a security code into a pad built into his bulky control stick. The cage on the gun rack popped. "Take one!" Amos handed one over to me, and I began loading shells. Thorview rose before us, a terrace of luxurious crystal glass and ferrocrete dwellings built into the curve of the dome itself. We whipped low over stepped gardens, making ferns and palms shudder in our downwash. Then Fishig keyed the fans to idle, and we settled on a wide veranda deck, 8 stories up. He leapt out, racking his shotgun. I followed him. "Stay here," I told Amos. He needed no further encouragement.
"Which one?" Fishig asked.
12.0.11. We edged along the wide, curving deck, clambering over dividing rails and trellises of climbing flowers. 12.0.11 was glass-fronted, with wide sliding doors of mirrored window plate. Fishig swept up a warning hand and took a coin from his pocket. He flipped it onto the terrace, and it was atomized by 9 separate las beams. He keyed his vox.
"Chasna Fishig to RBT's control. Copy?"
"Copy, Chasna."
"Access Dome Central and shut down auto-defenses on Thorview 12.0.11. Immediate."
A pause.
"Shutdown authorized."
He made a step forward. I halted him and tossed a coin of my own. It bounced twice on the basalt terrace and rolled to a halt. "I like to be sure," I said. We came up either side of the main picture window. Fishig tried the slider, but it was locked. He stepped back, apparently preparing to shoot the window in. "It's armorplex," I told him, wrapping my knuckles off the material. "Don't be stupid." I pulled the plastic bag containing Eichlund's effects from my jacket and searched for the compact las knife. Before I found it, I found the plastic key. Slim chances, but what the crud, as Inquisitor Hapshant used to say. I slid the key into the frame lock and the windows slid aside on motorized rails. We both waited. Perfumed air and light orchestral music wafted out past us.
"Adeptus Arbites, make yourself known," Fishig bellowed, his voice amplified by his helmet speaker.
They did. Rapid gunfire, heavy caliber, blew away the terrace rail, decapitated potted shrubs and dwarf trees, cropped flowerbeds, and chopped down the deck's aerial mast.
"Have it your way,"
bellowed Fishig, and he rolled in, pumping his shotgun. The blasts were deafening. I clambered up on a drain spout onto the second-level balcony, my shotgun dangling around my shoulders on its strap. Furious exchanges of fire rumbled below me. I went in through a gauze-draped opening into the main bedrooms. The room was overwarm and dark, dressed in red velvet with soothing ambient music welling from hidden vox speakers. The bed was in disarray. In one corner, on a gilt credenza, sat a portable vox set. I padded forward and studied the responder log. Fishig's chaos down below rumbled through the floor like a distant storm. The girl came out of a side room, a bathroom, I imagine, and shrieked when she saw me. She was naked and dived under the bedclothes for cover. The muzzle of my shotgun tracked her.
"Who's here?"
She whimpered and shook her head.
"Inquisition," I hissed. "Who's here?"
She began to sob and shook her head again.
"Stay down. Get under the bed if you can."
In the adjoining room I heard whistling. A voice called out a name.
"Don't answer," I told the weeping girl.
I moved slowly round to the side room door. Light shone out. There was a hint of steam and a smell of bath oils. The whistling had stopped. He was wary, I'll give him that. He didn't bluster out, gun blasting. I tipped open the door with the snout of my weapon, and 5 high-velocity rounds shredded holes in the wood panel. I fell to my belly on the floor and fired 3 shots in through the door gap.
"Inquisition, throw down your weapon!"
2 more shots punched through the door. I crawled backwards from the doorway and stood up, the gun resting in my hands.
"Come out," I said, using my will.
A large, tattooed, naked male blundered out of the bathroom, half his face shaved and half covered with sudsy foam. A Transvasa high-powered auto-pistol was still in one hand.
"Put it down," I commanded.
He hesitated, as if my will had no force. A conditioned mind, I supposed. Take no chances. The auto-pistol was just pulling up to find me when I blew off his half-shaved face with the shotgun and sent his body splintering back through the half-open door. The girl was still crouched, naked, at the end of the bed, shivering. I was surprised she hadn't bolted out of cover at my command, too. I spun to face her.
"What's your name?"
"Lisa B."
"Full name," I snapped.
I wasn't concentrating on her, especially, but there was something about her. An air. A tone.
"Elizabeth Beckwin, pleasure girl. I worked the Sundome these past 4 dormants."
"You're here why?"
"They paid up front. Wanted a party. Oh, lords."
Her voice trailed away as she collapsed on the bed.
"Get dressed. Stay here. I will want to talk to you."
I moved to the door of the chamber and looked out into the unlit hall. Below, down the stairwell, gun flashes and shouts echoed up. Seeing my shape in the doorway, a man ran towards me.
"Wilk! Wilk! They've found us! They've—"
A moment before he realized I was not Wilk, I decked him with the butt of my weapon. He fell hard. 2 solid shots raked the doorframe next to me. I ducked back in, sliding back the grip of the shotgun. Shots punched through the wall above the bedhead. Beckwin screamed and rolled off the bed. I blasted back, punching 2 more large holes in the door. 2 men slammed into the room, wild-eyed and desperate. Both were dressed in light interior clothes. 1 had a las pistol, the other an auto rifle. I dropped the las gunner with 1 direct shot that hurled his body against the wall. The man with the auto rifle opened fire, his shots chewing through one of the bedposts. I dived for cover as the automatic fire ripped up tufts of carpet, shattered mirrors and demolished furnishings. Rolling, I frantically sought cover. My would-be killer dropped face down onto the bed. The girl pulled a long, retractable knife out of the back of his neck.
"I saved your life," she told me. "That'll make it better for me, right?"
I told the girl to stay put in the bedroom, and from her nod I was pretty sure she would. I stepped out into the gloomy hall. The level below had fallen silent.
"Fischig," I voxed. "Come down."
His reply crackled back. A spiral stairway led down into a large, split-level lounge area. The air was thick with smoke, which coiled out of the terrace window doors we had opened. The hard daylight of the sun dome streamed in, making ladder bars of light in the drifting haze. The opposite wall of the room was a wide, segmented shutter. If opened, it would reveal a view over the freezing wastes beyond the dome. A storm of gunfire had ruined the expensive furniture and decorative fittings. 5 corpses lay twisted at various points on the floor. Fischig, his visor raised, was hauling a 6th man up into a high-backed chair. The man, wounded in the right shoulder, was wailing and crying. Fischig cuffed him into place.
"Upstairs?"
Fischig asked me without looking round.
"Clear," I reported.
I walked round the room, eyeing the dead and examining items left scattered on tabletops and bureau.
"I know some of these men," the chastener added, unsolicited. "Those 2 by the window. Locals. Low-grade labourers. Long list of petty convictions on both."
Hired muscle.
seems to be your man's way. The others are off-worlders.
You found papers?
No, it's just a hunch. None of them have got any ID or markers, and I haven't found a cache anywhere.
What about this one? I walked over to join him by the prisoner he had cuffed to the chair. The man coughed and whined, rolling his eyes. Unless he possessed unnaturally boosted strength, thanks to drugs or hidden augmetics, this man wasn't muscle. He was older, spare of frame, with grizzled salt-and-pepper growth on his chin.
"You didn't kill this one deliberately, did you?"
I asked Fischig. He smiled slightly, as if pleased that I had noticed.
I have rights,"
the man spat suddenly.
"You are in the custody of the Imperial Inquisition," I told him frankly. "You have no rights whatsoever."
He fell silent.
"Off-welder,"
Fischig said. I raised an eyebrow.
"Accent,"
Fischig explained. I'd never have detected it myself. This was one of the reasons I used local help whenever I got the chance, even a potential troublemaker like the Chastener. My work takes me from world to world, culture to culture. Slight differences in dialect or incongruities of slang regularly pass me by. But Fischig had heard it at once, and it made sense. If this was a leader rather than muscle, one of Eichlone's chosen lieutenants, then the odds were he was from off-world.
"Your name?"
I asked.
"I will not answer."
"Then I will not have that wound treated for a while." He shook his head. The wound was bad, and he was obviously in considerable pain. But he resisted. I was even more certain he was a ringleader. He was no longer shaking or whining. He had switched in some mental conditioning, no doubt taught by Eichlone. "Mind tricks won't help you," I said. "I'm much better at them than you are."
"Go screw yourself."
I glanced at Fischig out of courtesy.
"Brace yourself."
He stepped back.
"Tell me your name,"
I said, using my will. The man in the chair spasmed.
"Simon Krutz,"
he gasped.
"Godwin Fischig,"
spat the Chastener involuntarily. He blushed and moved away, busying himself with a search.
"Very well, Simon Krutz. Where are you from?"
I didn't employ any will now. In my experience, it took only one blow to loosen mental defences.
"Thracian Primaris."
"What was your job there?"
"I was trade envoy for the Bonded Merchant Guild of Synesius."
I knew the name. Guild Synesius was one of the largest mercantile companies in the sector. It had holdings on 100-plus planets and links to the Imperial nobility. It also, as Betancourt had informed me just that morning, had a trade launch berthed at the Sundome landing stage.
"And what work brought you to Hubris?" "That same work, as a trade envoy."
"In dormant?"
"There is always trade to be had. Long-term contracts with the authorities on this world that require the personal touch."
"And if I contact your guild, will it confirm this?"
"Of course."
I walked around behind him.
"So what brought you here?"
"To these private apartments?"
"I was a guest."
"Of who?"
"Namber Wilk, a local trader. He invited me for a mid-dormant feast."
"This dwelling is registered to Namber Wilk,"
Fischig put in.
"A trader, as he says, no priors. I don't know him."
"What about Eichlone?" I asked Krutz, leaning down to stare into his eyes. There was a ripple of fear in them.
"Who?"
"Your real employer." "Murdin Eichlone." "Don't make me ask you again."
"I don't know any Eichlone."
There was a ring of truth to his voice. He may well not have known Eichlone by that name. I dragged up a chair and sat down facing him. "There is an awful lot of your story that doesn't add up. You're found here consorting with recidivists who we can connect to a planetary conspiracy. There are charges of murder to be considered, a lot of them. We can continue this in far more intimate and comprehensive circumstances, or you can make me like you more by filling in some details now."
"I don't know what to tell you."
"Whatever you know. About the Pontius, perhaps." A dark, stricken look crossed his face. His jaw worked for a moment, trying to form words. He quivered. Then there was a liquid pop, and his head fell forward.
"Throne of Light!"
Fischig cried.
"Damn it!"
I growled, and bent down to lift Croat's limp skull. He was dead. Eichlone had left failsafes in the conditioning that would trigger at certain subjects.
The Pontius evidently was one of those. A stroke. Artificially induced.
So we know nothing?
We know a great deal. Weren't you listening? For a start, we know the Pontius is the most precious secret they protect.
So tell me about it.
I was about to, at least evasively, when the shutter barring the far wall to the climate extremes of the world outside the dome blew out. Hidden charges fired simultaneously. The metal sheet splayed outwards into the freezing dark. The blast force threw both Fischig and myself to the ground. A millisecond later, the shattered crystal in the portal blew back in at us, carried by the hurricane power of the dormant winds outside, a blizzard of billions of razor-sharp slivers.